Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Patient Players Podcast. This is episode 73, the 8th edition of the Patient Players Podcast. I am your host, Daniel, joined by my absolutely wonderful co-host, Jordan. How are you doing, Jordan?
Not going to lie, I thought this was 74.
No.
73. 70, okay.
71 was the last episode. 72 was last week.
That's right. 71, the last episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Super Mario, Super Patient Players, the Lost Levels.
So whenever the episode finally gets over here from Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll finally have the...
With all the regional optimizations and whatnot.
And there's that poison mushroom in there.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. This is a video gaming podcast. We are your hosts, as I said. We're going to talk about video games. We have some topics that we've brought to the table about video games that we're going to talk about. And then we're going to go talk about the best part of the podcast, the question and answer section, where we're going to answer your questions live. You can send questions over to patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com as the email inbox, or if you head over to patientplayers.com/social, you'll find all sorts of links to join us either in our live recording Twitch chat or sending us emails that way or through our various social media channels, YouTube videos, that kind of thing. It's all available there. Thanks for checking us out on this fun podcast. And let's get into it. How's your week, Jordan?
Oh, we're going to get into it today, all right.
We're going to get real into it.
We are going to get so into it, Daniel. You don't even know.
You've held on to some opinions for the podcast?
I've got some things to say.
Oh, okay.
Heck yes, I do.
Well, this is the time to say them. The time is now.
Well, I just got to say, like, we got to... This is some big stuff. So
okay.
We really got to... you know, get rid of the nitty gritty stuff out of the way because there's no going back afterwards.
Okay, so we gotta clear, do some house cleaning and get some stuff out of here.
Yeah, let's do some video game house cleaning. It's time for video game house cleaning.
Oh, okay. Good. So what is video game house cleaning persist of? Do we just talk about things that aren't interesting for a while? Because that seems like a bad way to do a podcast.
Not interesting, but maybe this is like maybe we can do like our minor things here. You know.
Don't you start with the headliner because that what gets people interested? Isn't that how like media works?
The headliner was that it's going to get big at the end.
Okay. So stick around.
There you go.
Stick around to find out what this mystery is.
Yeah. Now back to a word from our sponsors being us, the podcast people.
I mean, we are the sponsors of the
talking
podcast.
Talking about video games is our sponsor of our own show.
Okay.
So house cleaning.
House cleaning. I mean, I play a lot of games this week, but it's a lot of stuff you heard me talk about already. Mm-hmm. So, like,
that sounds pretty house cleany.
Cleany. Yeah, definitely. You know what's weird? I've still every single week that we've done this podcast. I guess not every single week because there was a couple weeks we were off. But during the weeks that we were off, I was playing a lot of Hyrule Warriors. Like, I'm still like every day or two playing a new level of Hyrule Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the car before I go to bed, whatever. Like I still am having fun with that game. It's
in
a nice
car. Do you drive and play Switch games?
I do not do the thing that you're accusing me of doing.
I'm picturing two Joy-Cons duct taped to the steering wheel, you know, and like driving
you could put the actual console like where the GPS unit would go.
Yes,
like in front of you, and you could still see the roads. I don't suggest this. I'm not going to do it, and I have not done it, and I resent any accusations otherwise, but I've been playing Hyrule Warriors. I don't have a lot to say about it. It's good. I like Link. He seems good.
That's cool.
You play as Link in a lot of missions, and so then he becomes very high level, and then he's your strongest guy.
And so you want to keep playing Link?
Yeah, and then it's like kind of self-fulfilling because like it's kind of cool though, because in the story, all the other characters are like, oh, he's the mighty champion. He has the Master Sword. Like, it's so impressive how he's just like this combat genius. And in Breath of the Wild, they like rarely mention that. They'll be like, oh, he was a knight. Like, he was really strong.
Mm-hmm.
But in this game, you're like, every time you kill someone, everyone is like, oh my gosh, Link, like, how do you do this? You make it look so easy. And he's just like this combat god.
He's like, yeah. I would love if he just spoke back like that. Just like in a voiced cutscene. Just,
there have been Zelda games where Link, like, didn't speak and then they act like he does.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's just like, And they're like, yeah, thanks for telling me
about
this,
yes,
right?
Yes, I understand.
But Breath of the Wild and Age of Calamity so far, nobody ever pretends like he is talking, so I wonder if he's just canonically mute. Like, if he just has a disability and everyone's just real respectful about it. They're just like, Link, you're so awesome at fighting. And they're like, oh, do you want to go over here with us, Link? And he's just like, mm-hmm. And they're just like, oh, okay, great. Like, they just, no one tries to make him talk because they all know he can't. I don't know. That's my headcanon now.
He could
now.
Be a Furb, you know, where it's just like off screen, he says this really brilliant thing, and then that's just it.
I thought Furb was something really inappropriate, and I was like, what could Furb possibly mean? And then I just realized you were talking about the Disney Channel character Furb from the show Phineas and Ferb.
That is correct. Yeah, nothing inappropriate here. You know, he's a silent boy.
He is. But anyways, I like Age of Calamity. It's fun. I'll keep playing it. Urbosa is the best over Fish Girl.
Mm. Don't my fish waifu. Hurt me like that.
Urbosa is a better, stronger, more independent waifu.
Oh, I mean, you're not wrong, but fish waifu touches my heart.
Urbosa is like queen of her people. She leads the land with a kind heart.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
No, I'm not arguing with that. Yeah, I don't see what the problem is there.
Fish Lady is just a vulnerable damsel in distress.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's my house cleaning on Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess I can get my Animal Crossing house cleaning out of the way.
Okay.
Animal Crossing, it's a game. I like this game.
Yeah.
Had I talked about the Mario update? It wasn't out yet, wasn't it? It was not out last week.
No, you were real hype about the warp pipes.
Yes, warp pipes, incredible. Beautiful. So good. Mm-hmm. I have one in like my town square, and the other one's in my house, so I can teleport from the town square to my house. Lickety split.
Can you set up new pipes or just the two?
You can do more than two, but it chooses one at random if you do that, which kind of defeats the purpose.
Nice. I'm so glad they did that. I'm so happy.
Yeah. It's lovely. A lot of people online were saying, hey, wouldn't it be nice if they could, if you could like recolor them and then like, you know, pair up two different pairs of colors. I would love if there was multiple ones I could do. But
or you know what? Like, if there was only some other game where you could put a portal and then like put a tag and then tag another portal and switch, but then you could like redo the tag to go to a different portal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day there'll be a game like that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. But these Mario items, they were time locked, like actually time locked in the game to March 1st. So you couldn't do that. You couldn't get them until actual March 1st. And here's where the main stink turd is.
There's an additional stink turd.
There is. Yeah. So, in the game, they get added to, like, a promotional catalog. That's how you buy them, which is limited to 5 items a day. So, first, you gotta wait till March 1st, legitimately, because Nintendo's like, no cheating to get these items. And then they say, oh, now you can have them, but you can only order 5 a day. So, if you want to get them all, like, on the first day that they're actually released, you have to time travel when you get to actually March 1st. So it's like they're like promoting and not promoting time traveling at the same time, which is very weird. But anyways, they're just a bunch of, you know, I downloaded the update. I played it for like 5-10 minutes. Warp pipe is cool. And then I'm like, wow, this was a really sad update.
It's just furniture and warp pipe, right? Like there's nothing.
Yep.
So is this the update with the butt rug that you're so excited about?
No, that comes out in a few weeks. Which, in order to get that, I'm going to try and snag the reprint of the Amiibo cards from Target.
Okay.
Which is going to be very difficult because a lot of people want them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've had good success buying things that are hard to buy, though. You're good at that.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're going to be, like, pre-orderable online or if you just have to run to the store and find them first. You know, and which one person could find them all and buy them all up just like that if that's the case. So they're only $6, and I'm sure that people are going to resell them for like $20, $30, whatever.
How high is your price willing to go for the butt rug?
Not that high.
Could you not just trade for it?
You could, yeah, but people are going to be charging out the wazoo for it on online trades, I'm sure.
The legendary butt rug. Yeah. And then couldn't you, like, once you get one, you can order more from the catalog, though, right?
Maybe. Some items are special to where you can't order more, so there is a chance that you won't be able to.
And they don't tell you, there's no rhyme or reason to why that is, or when.
I guess they want you to buy their Amiibo cards.
This game sounds incredible, Jordan. Mm-hmm. I'm so sad that I never played it.
But that's okay. And better news, I have completed my museum.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That was since last episode.
It's
more done. Like, you did it.
Confetti.
Yeah. At least until the next update where they fish, add, you know, like a new system to the game,
bugs,
right?
The fossils, the sea creatures, and the art. I don't think I've ever 100%ed a Animal Crossing museum before.
That's true.
This was all done legitimately mm-hmm. with an asterisk. Asterisk? Is that what it is?
Yeah, asterisk.
With a little star, asterisk. What a word. Because obviously I used legitimate mechanics to get access to things earlier, which I still consider to be legitimate. But some people are like, oh, I did it like the real way where I actually waited for all the things.
Everybody just holding a sense of superiority over everybody else, over who experienced the most inconvenience playing Animal Crossing.
That is like
hilarious.
The community in a nutshell is like who could be the most superior Animal Crossing fan, which is kind of funny in a game like that. But yeah, that's Animal Crossing. Still hoping for a big like year anniversary update. I feel like it's not coming. I feel like the only thing it's going to get is that Amiibo card update.
Mm-hmm.
And then imagine all the people who won't be able to experience it because they can't buy the cards because they're not going to be, mm-hmm. they're going to be sold out.
Yeah.
They're only Target. Model. Target exclusive. So you can't go to Walmart or Amazon or, you know, any other store, GameStop, whatever. You got to go to Target and they're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There's your 1 year anniversary update for Animal Crossing. It's content that you don't get.
Never change Animal Crossing.
Never change Animal Crossing.
Go ahead.
No. What were you saying?
Oh, I was just going to go on to a different game.
I was also going to go on to a different game.
Well, fine. Let's talk about Gunfire Reborn.
Oh, beautiful.
It's a good game. You've heard us talk about it a few weeks in a row. It's super awesome. Honestly, like the more we play this game and fall in love with it, I'm like, this game is $12. That's crazy to me. That's such a good deal.
It is like, very good.
If you like any sort of group game, like where you're hanging out with your friends in a squad, if you like shooting games, if you like rogue games, roguelite games, all of those, if you like class-based shooters, it has it all. It's so good. It's very, very fun. I feel like I'm starting to get the strategy for the higher difficulties now more and more, and how I'm trying to understand each character a little better, because there's four characters out right now. I've finally beaten the game with all four of them.
Oh, yes.
And
oh, right, because I was there for the last one, wasn't I?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
cool.
Wife of the podcast, Marion, jumped in for the first time just like 2 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
So she destroyed all of our records by beating it on her very first try with us. So that was kind of funny.
That was my first time. I don't think it was your first time, but that was my first time to be a four-person squad in a four-player game.
Yeah, I think one time it was like me, Kyle, Judah, and someone? Kyle's
Keaton?
Friend? I don't know.
Sam?
Maybe it was Keaton? I don't remember. There was one time where we definitely had three with Keaton and Judah and me. I think maybe Kyle jumped in after a certain point.
Yeah?
But the...
yeah?
Hey, you didn't tell me you'd have a guest on the podcast. What's
thank you.
What's her opinion about Animal Crossing?
I even have the sign up on my door that says live recording. I put that up there because of the pizza incident back in the day. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was great.
The pizza. Oh,
it was. It was great. That was amazing.
Just see a little. Oh, right. This is a podcast. Sorry. My someone came in the background just now. I was just like, ignore it. It's just going to go away in a second. I have the sign up, so I feel justified
to just ignore it.
Yes.
So, again, it's just housekeeping. Gunfire is good. We've talked about it a whole bunch. I'll talk specifics at some point. If we run out of topics, we should definitely talk about like some of our favorite gunfire combos for people who are really into gunfire.
Yeah. We won't run out of topics.
We never do.
No.
Anyways, any thoughts on gunfire?
No, it's great. I'm sad that I'm like the lowest level of all my friends now who play it.
Yes, Sam got it like last week and passed you.
Yeah, what the heck? I guess Marion, the first time she played it, so she's a lower level than me, but I got on and Sam was a higher level and you're a higher level, and I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like, this... This is weird. I'm not used to this.
Well, Marion also went from level 1 to level 18 in her first.
That was
her
awesome.
First game.
That was
yeah,
pretty
that
cool.
was amazing.
And was that normal mode or is that hard mode?
That was normal. I did okay. normal because Marion was playing for the first time. I have found the last three times I've taken this strategy, we've won, mm-hmm. And I was top damage. And I have found that multiple target damage is absolutely key in, mm-hmm. in Gunfire Reborn. Like, I have found that when I was playing, I think the first character I beat it as was the melee character, the bird, and that character, his abilities are all like range, right? Like, you do your big melee that has a range, or you mm-hmm. do your jumping dash that has a range, and that helped me beat that game. And then I've been doing, I won it as the cat using the smoke grenades. Mm-hmm. And I got the corrosion upgrade all the way up so that when you shoot someone with a critical hit in the head, it does a smoke grenade effect. So I just had constant smoke grenades damaging everyone for hundreds and hundreds of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Man,
the
why
dog.
Are roguelikes so fun? Why are they so stinking fun?
It's because it's like you can't take the same strategy every time. You're forced to adapt.
Oh, it's so good. What a great game.
I won with the dog, focusing on explosion damage and just blowing everything up with grenades and rockets. And then most
and that
recently,
was when you were like, hey, this guy's actually not that bad. And I was very happy because the dog is one of my favorites.
Right. And it's because in the past, I was trying to find like combos of weapons that I could just like shoot all of the enemies down one at a time. And I realized that like focusing on the grenade damage is the best. And then the last character, the kitty cat, I hadn't really had success with the sniper very much until I got the talents where the lightning strike it does is really powerful. And then every time
it was this the insane one where you had like 11 million damage,
15 million damage. 15, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yes. And it I had like eight. I think I had like half of what you had.
I think Marion had like 460,000 damage to my 15 million.
That was insane.
But, yeah, that was a really good round. And it was because I was picking the talents that would spread that damage out to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realizing it's easier when you shoot one guy and all of them die than if you shoot one guy and he dies extra hard. It's not as good.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Very true.
So anyways, that's Gunfire. I think that's most of my, what did we call it? House cleaning?
Yes. That's all your house cleaning?
I mean, there were some games we played today, and there's a game I played last night, but those are both, I'll talk about them maybe a little bit more.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll finish up my house cleaning with just a really important thing happened in my life regarding uh-huh. Mario Kart, Daniel.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you know this, but in the Wii U version of Mario Kart 8, you uh-huh. have to get 10,000 coins
uh-huh.
across all your gameplay in order to unlock the final like item in the game, which is just a gold glider.
Yep.
That takes a long time.
Yes.
In the Switch one, they nerfed it to 5,000.
Yes.
And I only just got it. Like,
wow, that's a lot of Mario Kart.
It is a lot of
Mario
Kart.
You play a lot of Mario Kart.
I do. Because the thing is you only get coins with what you finish the race with. So that's a max of 10 per race. So you need to get, best case scenario, 500 races with max coins. And you don't ever, you don't always do that.
But it stacks with multiplayer, right? Doesn't every racer...
Yes.
Contribute coins?
That's correct, yeah. And it's still okay. taken me, I don't know, I have like 60 hours of the game.
Jeez.
And I just got it. But that was huge, you know? Like, I did it. I wanted the gold glider from the Wii U version since it came out like 9 years ago. So that's a little cleaner fact. Fun game cleaner fact. New Smash Bros. Character came out.
That happened. I know nothing about it, and when I feel interested in it, I'm sure I'll boot it up and try them out.
That's good.
Have you tried them out?
It's like me and Hades. See, you understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
That's a thing. I know I'll like it when I do it, but until then, why should I do it?
Yeah, but see, if you and Sam and Marion and everybody on the internet were talking about how this new character was like the most fun thing that they'd ever played, that would probably cause me to go try it.
Okay, that's fair, because you tried Sephiroth like when he came out, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And he was like the talk of the town.
Yeah.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah mm-hmm.
Anyways, they came out, because it's like two characters, technically, two and one.
Yeah.
Pretty fun, very strong, very strong. Oh, my word. The over B for Mithra.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you're supposed to dodge it. It does like this cool like anime, like... like X effect, where it's like they're like coming in and out of existence. Like that doesn't really work in a Smash game because their model is like disappearing.
So are they like invincible during it?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Maybe their hitbox is just somewhere in the mess of when it happens.
Weird.
But yeah, they're pretty cool. I played them and I'm like less upset. This always happens where it's like another sword anime character, and I played them. And I'm like, okay, it's still like a fun game. Same thing.
Byleth
happened.
Is like your favorite character.
Exactly.
Almost.
I was gonna say Byleth. Like I was like, I don't care about this. This is so dumb. And then I played Byleth, and I'm like, I actually really like Byleth as a character. Like his moveset is really cool, or their moveset.
It's a singular person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they can be he or she, you know.
Right.
But I think that's about my game roundups.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, so I bought a Jackbox game last night. I bought Jackbox 7 to play with some family members, which is great.
Daniel.
Yes.
Daniel,
yes.
You bought a full priced game.
I did. It was weird. It felt very unnatural. There was just like a big number on that price. There was nothing. I didn't like it. I didn't like the big number that was on the price.
Yeah.
Because
it's 30, right?
Yeah. Okay. In my head, I was like, oh, Jackbox games, that's like $15, right? Like in my head there, and every Jackbox game is like $15 or $20. And then I went looking and it was like, these are all $25 or $30, and there's seven of them. And it's like,
I think it's a great deal. Sad. You're paying, you know, like $3 per mini game. When you think about it that way,
no, you're paying like
they have
$6
like
six
or seven. They have like six
but
or
I'm
seven.
Also, what if I only want three mini games and they're making me buy five? Then I'm paying like $10 a mini game.
Well, I mean, you're still getting the other ones, though. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm never gonna play them.
That's true. Yeah.
Your deception won't work on
me. Jackbox
okay?
7 is actually like one of the highest rated ones. I don't know why, because I don't think I like that one very much, but on Steam, it's like one of the highest rating ones.
I had also heard people saying that this was the most consistently good one, like all the games people liked, except maybe one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried out three. Obviously, Quiplash is Quiplash. We played some Quiplash, which is still fun.
I don't like the theme they went with this Quiplash.
The weird like clay.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Slurpee. Yeah, it's weird. And then the we played the champion one that everyone loves. That you got to play that one, right?
Oh, the drawing one?
Champed up, yeah.
I want to play that one, but no one plays the artistic Jackbox games with
me.
Let's
jump on Discord, man. Let's play some Champed
Up. I would love that. I'm always like at a party, like, I want to do this one. And they're like, is that a drawing one? And I'm like, yes, you can suck it up.
And it's great.
And then we don't do it because I don't actually say that.
TKO is great. This one's great. They're all fun.
Anyways, TKO.
We played that one. It was really, really fun. And then we did what was the last one we did? Oh, we did the PowerPoint one.
Yes.
Which
was love
like,
that one.
It's funny, but like the first time you play it, no one understands what they're doing. And so that it's like not as funny. And then we only played it the one time, but I think by the end of it was really funny.
I love that one. I hate speeches, but that one is just, that one's amazing. It's crazy how fun that one is.
I think your secret dream is to actually give a TED talk, considering how much you talk about it.
I think, how much I talk about TED Talks?
Yeah, you're always like, thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Oh, I think that is a secret dream, you know? I have like this, you know, it really is like deep-seated in there somewhere where it's like I picture myself on a stage being amazing and saying amazing things. And then I remember who I am and I realize I'm incapable of doing that. So I just kind of slough it off.
What's your dream TED Talk about? Welcome to Jordan Patience, Jordan Player's TED Talk. What am I about to learn about? That sounds like a good Keaton question
that he would email in or something. I don't know what the Jordan TED Talk would be. This sounds like a Cards Against Humanity card where it's like, my TED Talk would be about blank. And then
I'm pretty sure that is a Cards Against Humanity
probably
card.
Yeah, and I'm sure everyone would be like, farts, butts, you know?
No, that's just the version that you had that was meant for a 10-year-old.
Yeah, but having it be my card, I'm sure people would be like, oh, this would be Jordan's TED Talk, you know? Hi, I'm Jordan. My TED Talk is why I haven't played Hades yet.
Ooh. All right. So I think that you've invested yourself in not playing Hades. Like, I think that it's part of your personality now. Mm-hmm. It's one of your defining character traits. And so you're too invested in not playing Hades
to
ever play Hades.
That's an unfortunate character trait.
Yeah. I mean, I came to accept it about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago? What?
That this is now just who you are as a person, is just someone who doesn't play Hades.
What happened 3 weeks ago?
I don't know.
it was just you woke up one day and you're like, it's not going to happen.
Somebody is parking sideways in my driveway?
Like parallel parking in your driveway?
No, like they just kind of drove up into it sideways and now they're just there and getting out of the car.
Do they have a package? Because that might be a delivery.
They're drinking a fast food drink in the passenger side. Somebody is.
I hope you don't have a surprise guest. This is not the time for surprise guests.
This is absolutely not the time for surprise guests. Well, I will keep you updated. Oh, it's my
your
in-laws.
Wife's parents.
Oh, are they dropping off? Oh, yeah. They're dropping off something that I left at their house last night. Well, we were just talking about playing games with them. Anyways, that was weird.
They don't have to like come upstairs and be like, say hi to you and give you a hug or something.
No, I'm pretty sure that they know that I'm doing a podcast.
It's funny. Okay. Well, if not, I guess podcast, we'll find out in a few minutes.
An excellent excuse to not have to go say hi to your in-laws. No, it's okay. I had a lot of fun hanging out with them yesterday.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, liking your in-laws is a big deal. Yeah, I'm very happy that I'm going to be liking mine.
All right. That was Jack Box. What's going on? Tell me the juicy deets.
Okay, so I was at White Rhino the other day. And
what is that?
I'm sorry, that's our local coffee shop. Shout out to White Rhino.
Oh, okay.
In Dallas. But you don't know which one, so you don't know where I live. Ha, get wrecked. And I thought I would try out the Steam remote play feature on the local Wi-Fi because I had my Xbox controller and I had my iPad.
Yes.
So I actually booted up and played a good old hour or so of Omori.
Oh, wow.
I did. Yes.
That's cool. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a good game to play over Steam remote play.
Yeah. With people around in the daytime. Gotta say, I am loving it. I am absolutely loving it. I cannot wait to play this game like to the fullest. I didn't realize it was about like depression, which is a sad note, but I feel like I would have been more inclined to try it out if I had been told that. I just was told that it was a psychedelic horror game, which is a no for me, but a psychedelic horror game about depression, I'm there, dude. I'm in. I got to the part with the stairs and the hands reaching out, and it like wasn't scary because I knew it was about like depression. You know? It's like it's not scary anymore because it's about real things.
You're a mystery to me. You're absolutely a mystery to me, and I will never understand you.
It's exciting. So, yeah, I don't know if you wanted to talk about anything about Omori. Unfortunately, Keaton's not here because he's playing D&D in the chat.
Oh, so no, he left!
I texted him. Like, okay. when I played it, I sent him a screenshot.
Okay.
So, he knows.
So, I got stuck on the hide-and-seek for, like, a long time.
I remember you mentioned that.
I couldn't find the guy, and it was just the guy buried in the sand.
Like 2 feet away from the pole?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just a big lump in the sand that's just a person, and I just didn't. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see him. It took me like 10 minutes.
Nice.
Other than that, yeah, like the... I really hope the combat gets more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm like 2 hours in, so I'm a little past where you are.
Yeah.
But,
I think where I ended is where he goes back to sleep, and they're like, hey, you're back. Let's go check on What's-Her-Face at her house.
Right.
The part where, oh my word, she drops the photograph on the ground.
Yeah.
Holy smoke. That's where I was like, oh, I'm buckling in for this ride. Like, oh snap. I got excited to play this game. It's so cool. Like, thank you, Keaton, again, for buying us this game.
Yeah.
I hope it has like some big takeoff twist point. Or maybe it's just all, you know, like what we've experienced so far where it's just a good quality game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep.
I've not had the opportunity. I think Steam Remote Play will be a good option for that game, though, because I feel like there's a lot of times where those kind of games are like, man, I really wish I had it on Switch, right? Because it's like,
yes.
I'd love to boot it up when I have some time away from my desk. If I'm sitting down to like play a game at my computer, that's where I do Valheim or Gunfire, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot harder to just be like, oh, I'm going to sit down and play Omori for an hour or two because there's all these other games I want to play.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you get the added benefit of getting the Steam achievements. Which are a big deal to me.
So that's Omori. The last game I've played was Valheim, which I bring up again from last week because I played a bunch more of it. I think I had I just beaten the second boss last week, or I had... No, I can't remember. Do you remember where I was last week in Valheim?
I don't.
Because you were there with me.
It was around the second boss time. I think the second boss... I feel like that was like a few days ago that you were fighting the tree man. But yeah, so I need to find my insulin remote real quick.
Oh, no. Okay, you keep yourself alive.
Because diabetes.
I'll talk about our adventures we had this morning.
Surprise jammies. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, so Jordan and I were playing Valheim together, actually, this morning. It was Jordan's first time playing Valheim. He purchased the game to play with me. He'd been watching some streams over the last week of me playing the game out to him. Got to see me fight the second boss. Got to see me travel away from my like home island for the first time out into the world. And
the boat was pretty cool. It was pretty exciting getting on the boat, watching you get on the
boat. Yeah. You know, I've heard other podcasts talk about the game, and hearing about the shenanigans that happens with multiplayer with the boat sounds hilarious. Like,
oh, no.
Apparently it's really easy to fall off the boat if you're not careful.
Oh, no.
And, like, that can lead to some hilarity. So I'm really excited to see what happens as we continue to play, because multiplayer-wise, we've really only just started. We actually got all the way to beating the first boss, but we kind of rushed it. I really didn't do much else besides what we needed to do to get to that first boss, because I knew that it would unlock a lot of stuff for us right away.
Mm-hmm.
I am concerned that, like, what I didn't want to happen was to start the game and be like, oh, well, I already have all of this stuff and you need to get caught up. Because I knew you like to explore and kind of, like, figure stuff out for yourself. So I was kind of just letting you do your thing and trying to help you with what you were doing. And then, like, you wanted the pickaxe, so I went to go do the boss.
Wait, I'm sorry. You're talking about me?
Yeah.
You think I like to figure stuff out on my own?
Well, you certainly don't like being told how to do things.
I like a guide.
Ignore every piece of advice and tutorial that is ever thrown at you.
Oh, but that doesn't mean I don't. Hold on. Who's in the scenario? Who's throwing it at me? Is it you or the game?
Either, I feel like.
Okay. No, I feel like I like being like, I almost wanted to be like, hey, you should just bring over all your items just so we can like speed run this bad boy and, you know, get going on what's going on and like tell me how to do. Yeah, no, I don't want to have to figure things out. You kidding me? I'm so bad at figuring things out.
Okay.
I got so bored playing it. I built a little house.
But that's what you're supposed to do in the game, is like build a little house and make a shelter and survive. So I thought that was what you wanted to do. And then I was like, what do you want to be doing? What's your goal? And you're like, I just don't know what to do. So I'm building a house. I'm like, okay, is that your goal? You're like, I don't know what to do. I'm like,
it was a really, you know what it was? It was a really eye-opening experience. As I was saying that, I was like, oh, this is how people feel when they play Minecraft with me. Because I've heard them say that. They say, I don't know what to do. And I'm just like, just go build something. And they're like, build what? So me saying that earlier, I was like, oh, no. I understand now, and it makes me sad because I don't want people to feel the way I was feeling earlier.
Oh no, playing, I don't want you to feel that way either.
Playing Minecraft with me, I like the boss aspect a lot.
Yes,
I think the boss was fun.
Yes.
I don't know how we can improve upon that experience that we had today. Maybe not being separate in our goals, or like we need to upgrade and build this stuff. So let's go find it together. Because you were running off doing stuff. So yes. I was just like burning myself on a fireplace in circles for like a long time. Because I was like, I don't know what to do. I chopped down some trees and I'm like, this is kind of boring chopping down trees.
So you know how sometimes when you're playing a game and you're like, all right, we're a group. We have an objective. And you're like, all right, let's go accomplish this objective. And then you look and like friend of the podcast, Judah, is like, oh, this fire is really interesting. I'm going to keep burning myself on it. And you're like, but there's an objective. And then it's like the words are just hitting a wall and they're just like bouncing off. It's not quite the same with you. There's like think about the same idea, but less in intensity. It's like,
okay,
until I let you go burn yourself on the fire a couple times, you're not going to listen to what I'm saying anyways. So I'm just kind of trying to give you the space you need to burn yourself on a fire.
That's amazing. Well, I love our dynamic. That is so perfect.
Also being there to give you advice when you want to do something more useful than burning yourself on a fire.
Oh, man. I really appreciated when you built me that little thingy that upgraded my workbench.
Yeah.
And you gave me the pickaxe and you gave me the upgraded hammer. Like, yes. That's my favorite part, is when you're just like, here, have this stuff. And I was like, sweet. I can go get rid of some rocks.
More of that next time we play Valheim for sure.
Yeah. It also might be just the mentality that you know what you're doing. And maybe if I did ever catch up to you, this probably won't happen, but if I did ever catch up to you and it's like we're both exploring out into the distance, you know, where it's like new for both of us, there really is a different dynamic when you play a game with someone who knows everything, what's going on at that moment. Not like in the future, but, you know, at that moment.
Right. And I've tried pretty hard to not like look anything up so that I am only naturally progressing. And so I'm not learning everything super fast.
That sounds awesome. That sounds so fun.
I looked up one thing about like I was confused about how taming pigs worked. And I looked up something about how to get honey because I realized I'm actually glad I did that because you have to destroy beehives to get the queen bee that lets you build your own like farm, beehive farm. And the first beehive I destroyed in my game didn't drop a queen bee because I destroyed it with like an arrow, or maybe I didn't pick up the queen bee or something. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea how to do that, and I would have been lost forever if I hadn't have done that. So there's a few things I'm glad I looked up just because of the early access nature of the game. But other than that, I'm really happy of how I've been doing it. And if we do start playing it more, then yeah, I on my file, I've literally only gone into one like biome further than you and I have been right now. I've gone into the one where you get the like mining and smelting stuff, and that's where the second boss is. So mm-hmm. If we keep playing, we'll get caught up to where I am in my world pretty fast.
Right. It's also in beta too. So maybe that was just another aspect for me to where like everything we're doing right now could be changed at some point.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be changed that much, though. As far as I heard people talk about, like, especially people who have gotten to the late game, like, it's pretty feature complete. Like, apparently there's a lot to do in it.
Sweet. That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm not treating it like an early access game. Like, Satisfactory is a game that's early access, and I know stuff's going to change. So I'm actually not playing that game and haven't been for 3 or 4 months because I know that they've actually announced the next update will break a bunch of stuff.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was going to actually mention that exact game as an example. Like, I played the heck out of it, and I beat everything there was to do, and then they kept updating, and I was like, I don't want to touch this anymore, because, like, I feel like I just played all this time, and there's all this new stuff in here, and I want the game to be, like, complete when I play it. I own the next Subnautica, which is, like, in beta, and they drop, like, little content patches all the time, and I'm like, I want to play this game when it comes out, and it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
So that nothing like I won't think back and be like, oh, I remember when this was a thing or this looked annoying.
Yeah, kind of like when Hades went from early access to 1.0 and came out on the Switch, and everyone was saying it was like the game of the year and like really good.
Was it like a lot worse in early access?
No, I'm just saying that they finished adding all the content and the story and everything.
I see. Okay,
I really just bring up Hades again, you know. Okay, so Omori, Valheim, you said you played a lot of games, so I'm expecting there's at least still some news, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's like one more game that I played.
Okay.
Did you play anything else? Like, is that all your?
You are really holding back on whatever this. You're. This is gonna be a bombshell that you're dropping.
It might be.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else that I played. Okay. I've continued to play Heave-Ho with a bunch of high schoolers in the church, and they love it, and Heave-Ho is amazing.
So good.
I played it with my in-laws last night after we played Jackbox, and it's still amazing. It's a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that first world after the tutorial world is really hard. Like
on Heave-Ho?
On Heave-Ho, yeah. I'm surprised, because we played a bunch the other day, and we played like the forest level, and like we played like levels 3, 4, and 5. Mm-hmm. World 2 is super hard.
Oh, the darkness one.
No. Just the sky one. There's no ropes or anything. All you're doing is flinging yourself. And, like, you have to work together and fling. And that's a really hard mechanic.
Oh, interesting.
Really weird. Anyways.
Huh. Okay.
What are you saying?
I don't remember. Was I saying something?
You're the game. What's the game? What's the game you played?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been playing a lot of games. I've been playing Smash. I played Spelunky 2.
Okay.
I play, you know, Animal Crossing. Oh, really? I played Hades. I've been playing some Mario Kart.
Uh-huh.
I've been playing. Did you hear what I just said?
Mario Kart.
What did I say before that?
Did you say Hades?
Yeah.
So you just been lying all this whole episode?
Of course.
Why would you do that?
I started playing it like 2 days ago, and of course I'm absolutely loving it. I've done maybe like 15 runs, maybe.
Okay.
The furthest I've gotten, last night, I made it to the final world, and I died, where like the dog is sitting on the bridge or whatever.
Sticks, yeah.
Yeah, I was so sad. I was like, I would love it if I could have beaten this once by the time, but I died because I didn't know what was going on with the rooms. I don't know if like one room leads to the exit or something, or you have to go through all the rooms.
No. One of them at random will have the satyr sack that you need.
The who? The what now?
Don't worry. You'll get there. You'll get there when you get there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Man, I've been wanting to talk to you about this so badly for the past 2 days. Like, what are your favorite weapons? And also, I'm doing the thing that you're doing with Valheim, where every ounce in my body wants to go on the wiki and read every single thing. So I know like the most efficient item to get first. And I haven't done that not even once. And it's been so cool. Last night, I got the thing where you get to choose multiple weapon like types from all the weapons unlocked. Yes. Like, wow, this is so cool. The weapons are all so different anyways. And now they each have like different parts about them. Ah, I love the spear. I think it's the spear.
Yeah.
The spear. I love it. And then I got the gun. Gun's second favorite.
Okay.
I love the gun. So good.
It's so good. Okay, do you have the shield yet?
Yes, I have not. I actually haven't tried it yet, but I unlocked it like a while ago, and I was like, eh.
Okay, you should give it a try. I actually think the shield is one of the best ones. It's crazy.
Okay, I have not tried the punching one yet. I'm really excited for the punching one.
That one is one of my least favorite, but also the one I beat first, so it's good still, I guess. But
oh, you beat the game like the first time was with the punching one?
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Okay. Well,
The shield is fantastic because of its ability to block. Obviously, it's a shield. So, like, you can...
Oh, I didn't know it could block.
Yeah, so you use the attack button to whack with it, and then you use the alternate button to throw it. But if you hold the attack button, you'll hold it up as a shield, and you'll charge a shield bash. And while you're holding it, you're immune to damage from the front.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so you can just be up against, like, a boss, and you can be whacking them, and then right before they attack you, you just hold it, and then they'll be hitting your shield, and then when they're done hitting you, you just dash through them with the shield bash.
Man, I hate that Minotaur boss so much.
Yeah, he's real good.
I hate it so much. It's so unfair. And then now they started throwing at him earlier in the world, and then you would beat him anyways, and he just walks away. Is that, like, permanent now?
Here's my theory about that. It's not permanent. You have a chance of getting him as, like... So, you know how some of the...
Both times he was there, I was like, is this just every time now? I was very sad.
So, you know how you go into the rooms and like, the next room reward will... sometimes they have a skull?
Yes.
And that means there's a mini-boss in the next room. Well, he counts as...
Is that
counts
what that
as...
means?
Yes, that's what that means. It took me a while to figure that out, too. But sometimes the mini-bosses will be, like, a named mini-boss, and sometimes it will just be, like... this set of armored enemies that are harder than normal.
See, that was throwing me off, as I was trying to find like a common theme for the skull, and I was like, I'm not seeing one at all. It's either enemies or a boss.
Yeah, it just means it's harder. Oh, okay. Basically, and he is one of the mini bosses that can show up on Elysium. So sometimes you get the other one, which is the giant butterfly ball, which is the worst enemy in the game.
I think I've gotten that one before. Yeah,
it's so awful. But sometimes you get him, Asterius.
Interesting. The first time I fought him, I was like, oh, maybe I'll beat him here and it's going to make like the boss easier in a while. But he's like, nope, bye. I'm going to go. See you later. I was like, no, please don't.
I also thought that he was not going to be there. But here's my theory about that. I think that it's really, really good game design. Just like with everything in that game, they do a really good job of that boss fight because it's super hard, right? Like you're used to the really hard bosses and then you get to Elysium and you're just crushed by these two dudes throwing spears at you and charging you, and it's just nuts. And I think it's because that game is so much about pattern recognition that if they required you to get all the way to the boss every time to fight both of them at the same time, it would be super overwhelming.
Oh,
it would be
yeah.
like Ornstein and Smaug in Dark Souls, where you have to deal with these two guys at the same time and you don't know either of their patterns. But I think that they give you Asterius as a mini boss so that you can practice against him. So once you learn his pattern and you can beat him reliably, then you get to the other one and you just have to learn how to do that while dodging the spears.
That is excellent point. What you just described is exactly why I beat it once.
Yeah.
The second time I fought him earlier, I was like, oh, he's actually really easy to dodge.
Yes.
And then as I was fighting both of them, I was like, I just got to make sure the other guy's behind like a block or something.
Yes, exactly.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I just barely made it, like 16 HP left. I like used all three of my revives.
Yep.
Love the revive system, by the way. The first thing I bought was an extra revive, and then I saved up 500. I didn't get a single upgrade until I could buy another revive. And then
that's
I only
use
like the skull tooth or whatever, so I have three revives.
Oh, you use Skelly's one?
Yes.
Also, is Skelly not the best character?
He's a great boy.
They're all good characters. I'm sure you talked to Dusa.
Mm-hmm. And you've like mentioned things over the past like many months about there being like a secret final boss. And so I'm like, as I meet new characters, I'm like, is this the one? Like Chaos? I met Chaos and I'm like, is this going to be a boss at some point? Oh, that'd be so cool.
Oh, man. And I won't spoil anything on what is and what isn't, because the mystery is sometimes the fun part of it. But yeah, I'm so glad you like it.
It is. It's so fun not knowing what's coming next. And I did not like being at the final world, not knowing like what to do. I was like, I want to look up like what I need to do here. But I was like, no, I can't. I've made it this
far. You'll get back there. You'll get back there again.
I don't want to fight the Minotaur again. I hated that so much. Oh, I hated it.
Have you run into what's her face? Gosh, the dryad lady, Marianne, help me out here.
The dryad lady. I've ran into a bunch of old funny wacky characters.
See, and like I think that's great because that game is awesome for all the reasons you're talking about. We're talking about builds and boons and stuff like that. But honestly, all of the character in the story that gets told is like awesome. It's like some of the best out there on top of this great game, which is why I think people like it so much. But I would almost like be like, I would almost never be disappointed dying because I'm like, oh, I can go talk to everybody again. Like,
yes.
Going back to the hub world, you're like, oh, I can go find out what's going on with Meg or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I've loved that too, where it's like, oh no, I died, but also like there's a story I can look forward to that. And then I like talk to people and I get more story and I'm like, oh, I got to do another round now. Yeah, I got some upgrades. I got some people to talk to.
It's a vicious cycle because you're like, oh, Fred, I died. And you're like, oh, okay, you know what? It's fine. I'll go talk to everybody. And so you go and you talk to everybody and you spend all your upgrade points and you're like, all right, cool. I'm ready for another run. And then you go get back in that run and you're like, what would always happen to me is I'd be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pick my weapon and I'm going to pick my artifact and I'm going to just launch the run. And then I'm going to sleep the machine. So that way when I come back, it's all set up for me. Mm-hmm, and I would launch the run and I'd be like, ooh, there's a hammer. What upgrade am I going to get? And then I'd be like, oh, I got to try out this upgrade. And then I would just start.
I love the hammer upgrades.
Oh, they're so good.
I love the spear one where you can just hold down attack. Like the spear is my favorite because the attack range is just insane.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And that's why I love the gun probably is also a long attack range.
Yep. Oh, Eurydice was the character I was thinking of. Have you run into Eurydice?
Is that the singing lady?
Yes. Yeah, the singing lady in Asphodel.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Have you memorized all the names of the places yet? That took me a while.
No. Mm-mm, I'm not even going to assume.
You got your Tartarus, you got your Asphodel, you got your Elysium, and you got your River Styx. And there's your Temple Styx.
Oh. Temple Styx. Temple of Styx. There's another god I haven't met yet. It just says ?? And I'm like, who could this be? Surely I haven't just missed them up to this point.
You will be able to meet them soon.
Sweet. That's exciting.
Because I know who it is.
That's very exciting that I keep checking it. And it's like, no, I still don't. Because I've been saving up the little offering things to give to each one of them once so I can get all of the
like artifacts?
Artifacts, yeah. Because I just want to see what they all offer.
Yes.
And so I'm like, there's one more out there. I need to give them this offering.
Yep.
I got to do it.
Yep. It's super good. The nectar is super valuable. At the end of the game, you need a lot of that stuff. There's like, even after you beat the game, right? And then you got to like...
No, I did. Oh, just me in general. Okay.
You will beat the game. And then like, you have to beat the game, which requires some other things where you actually get credits rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like, there's actually another ending to the game.
You mentioned that before too.
Yeah. It requires like max relationship with every character basically.
Oh,
so it's lot of nectar. It's a lot of nectar.
Oh my goodness. Can I want to look this up, but I don't want to like read other things. So I want to ask you, is there any benefit to like trying to max out with someone early and in relationship wise? Like, do they give me more items or is it just like more lore?
It's more lore. There are, I think, 6 or 7 characters in the game that when you hit like a certain point, you'll see a lock show up. Well, all characters will have locks where like you need to hit a certain cutscene before you can do more.
Oh.
But there's 6 or 7 characters in the game where when you break the lock and you get like a special cutscene, you'll like go to dinner with them and like have a conversation usually in the lounge and like a very special cutscene will play out. And then it will, there'll be like an unlock animation and more hearts will appear and you can go into like a deeper relationship. And when that happens, they will give you another item. And I can tell you a little bit about it, or you want to just discover it?
No, that's fine. That's enough for now. That's
okay.
I wanted to keep upgrading these, but I was like, no, I don't want to just be wasting the points on that when there might be a use to it like at all. So
yeah, to my knowledge, and Marianne, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I have not found all of these characters yet when I've been playing. But to my knowledge, the only characters that give you a second buff after the first artifact, I think they're all in Hades, in the House of
really?
Hades. I don't think like the gods or anything will give you those, or anybody you meet out in the world.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, because like those are the ones I gave it last to. Because I was like, when I had one, I was like, I got to save this for when I happen to run into this person.
Right.
Like the person you mentioned, the Dryad Lady. I think you can give her one. And so I was like, I got to always have one with me in case there's another character out there that I happen to run across.
So I'm not saying don't give nectar to Eurydice, because there are other reasons you want to do that, but they're not gameplay buffs. They're story related.
Oh, okay.
So like there are huge chunks of story that you need to unlock with all the characters you meet out in the world too. Mm-hmm. They all have their own stories and plots that then tie back to characters in the main game.
Interesting.
So if you're only interested... Mom? Is Eurydice your mom?
Yeah.
Eurydice is not your mom.
Okay, darn. I had that thought. She was like, I tried to escape once, and that was right after I had just learned that the mom was like, I'm out of here, you know? So I was like, what if this is the mom?
No, your mom is not a tree lady.
Oh, darn.
Have you met Orpheus yet?
Who that?
He's the bard, the lute player.
Yes, in like the lush world?
No, that's Patroclus.
Okay, maybe I haven't then.
Orpheus would be in the House of Hades. He's suspiciously missing when you first start the game, and they're like, Orpheus isn't here. What's going on?
Orpheus. I don't think I have. Yeah, I guess I haven't yet.
Okay. I think you'll like Orpheus a lot now that I think about it.
Sweet.
I really do.
Okay. That's cool.
No. That's really funny if you know Orpheus. sorry. It's a good game. Yay, you're playing Hades.
It's a good game. It's a great game. Yeah.
Yep. Are you going to get it on the computer to get those crisp 60 frames?
I already did.
Oh, you have it on both?
Yeah. And also the Steam achievements. It was on sale, so I was like, it's Destiny. Actually, you know what? I think what happened was...
No, Destiny is free.
Oh, right. I think what happened was it was on sale a few days ago, and so I bought it. And I was like, well, I own it twice now, so I'm at least going to give it a try. And then I was like, okay, this is good. Yeah.
Wait, so if there's ever a game I want you to try in the future, if I give you two copies, that's enough to get you to try it?
Maybe if it's two copies that have cross-save, you know? Like, the cross-save is just so... It's so good. It's such a cool feature.
Man, I can't believe that you tried both Valheim and Hades in the same week. This is too good to be true.
It's been a good week. I also mentioned this earlier. I did try Spelunky too. I played that maybe like 10 minutes and I was like, yep, that's Spelunky. It's fun. I'll save it for when I'm craving some Spelunky.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Craving Spelunky.
That was from you. So thank you for that wonderful birthday gift, Christmas gift.
That was a Christmas gift, I believe. Yes.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, we've talked about games for quite a long time. I believe it's time for the best part of the podcast, which is the question and answers section. So we can get out of here. Dear listener, you really do make this podcast. Thank you for listening to it. And if you want to be a part of the podcast, you can head on over to your email client and email patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com or join us on our live stream on the weekends when we record our podcast over on twitch.tv and ask questions in the chat. So that's where we're headed now. We have a couple emails that have been sent in. I am going to go ahead and... I think, Jordan, will you take the first email?
Yes. Our first email is the one titled Choose.
I was thinking, no, we got a pretty normal format here we can stick to.
Okay, that, sure, yeah. So our first email is from, it's titled Groups and Buckets. Says, hello, patient players. Surprise, surprise, I have two questions for you this week. Oh my goodness, who could this be from? First question is, what is your favorite group game slash party game? And what is something on your bucket list? And this is from girlfriend of the podcast, Miranda.
Thank you for the question,
Miranda. Who is also my fiance, but still girlfriend of the podcast.
Still girlfriend of the podcast, yes. Well, also, we have an inject question I'll come back around to from the Twitch chat. So, two questions this week. Favorite group game and party game.
I don't think I can think of a favorite party game.
You just love all party games.
I love
partying in games.
The time in life when I discovered couch party games was like the best time of my life. Like, it blew me away, you know? Playing Towerfall, playing Samurai Gun, Ultimate Chicken Horse. Shoot, what was the other one called? I don't remember what it's called, but it was fun. And that swingy game that we played. Heave-ho is so good. I love party games.
Like Duck Game.
That's what it is. It's Duck Game. Yes. So good. I can't pick a favorite. That's my answer. I can't pick a favorite. I just love party games.
I'm in the similar boat, but I will pick a favorite. And here's my reasoning. I think I got to go with Smash Bros. Because of the following reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for ages, and it's always been a good party game. Like, since I was 4 or 5 years old, like, Smash Bros. On N64 was like, get together, play Smash Bros., have a good time. GameCube, Wii U, always Smash Bros. Was great time for everyone involved. And I like that it has modes that are fun for everyone, even if the skill levels are completely different. Like, throwing 8 people into a Smash world, and 2 of them could be experts, and 6 of them could have never played before. But because it's crazy, and it's timed mode, so you don't have infinite lives, like, everyone gets to have fun and just hit each other with giant explosions and stuff. And like, everybody enjoys it. And then on the flip side, like, I've had entire parties devoted just to Smash Bros. It's like, here, come over to my house so that we can play Smash Bros. For like 5 hours with everyone. And everyone comes because everyone wants to play Smash Bros. It's a party game that's so good. You make parties just to play it. And then like the same game, you turn around and it's like a tournament. And you go, and it's like people are really into it, and it's really intense. It's the exact same game with a different rule set, and people get just as hype about it, right? It's like everyone's cheering, and it's like, oh, it's so intense, and that's a very different environment. It's like, in one of them, it's very casual party, and the other one, it's a very, like, celebration of the competitive side of the game. So I think Smash Bros. Wins for me.
That is a great answer. Yep. Very good. The character replayability of that game is insane, how they're all differently... so differently made and so evenly balanced, unless you're playing against a god.
I am not even in like Elite Smash, I don't think, by the way, if that makes you feel any better. Something on your bucket list. You got to lead off on this one.
I think I have a bucket list. I typed Elite because you said Elite. Where is my bucket list?
What?
Oh no, I can't find my bucket list.
You can't find your bucket list?
I mean, get married has always been on my bucket list.
Okay.
I think go to Disney World is like a thing I've already done, but it's like it just stays on my bucket list. If that makes sense?
Just go return to Disney World again?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think that first one, getting married, I think girlfriend of the podcast, Miranda, is directly involved in that.
That's true.
But she's the change she wants to be in the world.
If people don't like that answer, I have another real answer. The peg game at Cracker Barrel. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
I want to beat it legitimately.
The peg logic game?
Yes, I have never beaten it. First time I played it was like 11 years ago, and I still have not figured out what it is. People are just like, oh, read the instructions. And I'm like, I don't want to read the instructions. I don't need to like figure out the strategy. I just want to get there like by accident at least once.
You just want to stumble on the random algorithm that gets you to the single peg?
Absolutely. You know, I do try logical things, but I still have never been able to get there. It blows my mind.
That's a good one. That's a really, really good one. I've always told Marion, and I think we've agreed on this, that like we don't need to be super wealthy or have a giant house, but we want to have a home that has a hot tub and a grand piano. Those are like our two requirements for like,
really?
We've made it.
Interesting.
Our requirements may have changed in the last several years, but that was originally like, man, if we could just have a hot tub and then like a grand piano. That would be the perfect house.
And it's two things that go really well together if one's big enough. You know what I'm saying?
Just have the hot tub inside the grand piano.
Oh, I was thinking the other way. I like how you went with that way.
Jordan, that would be so impractical. The wood would get wet. The strings wouldn't work. And you put heat.
The heat, that's a good one. A plastic piano. There you go. Or how about, do they make grand electric pianos? Or does it defeat the purpose of
That kind of defeats the purpose of a grand piano.
Okay. Maybe just like put a really big speaker in it.
We took this computer chip that was this big and we put it in like a 12-foot wooden container for no reason.
Big speaker. Big
speaker. That's where the hot tub goes. It goes in the rest of the piano.
I gotta say, when I said that, not for a single second did I think, oh, he's gonna put the hot tub in the piano. I was like, how cool would that be to be able to be
soaking in a piano and then someone could play the piano.
That's weird. Cool. I like it tied up to the jets. So as they're hitting the keys, the jets in the hot tub.
Yeah. You just have 88 different little jets that are underneath the hot tub. I like this idea.
Being in the hot tub and someone plays Bumblebee.
That would be very, very fun.
Wonderful.
Alrighty, I will take our next email here. This one comes in from Alicia Morha, who I believe we've gotten these emails before on this wacky, wild, magical adventure that Alicia is experiencing via her diary, which is transmitting to the email. So that's very fun. It says, "Dear diary, it is me again, Alicia Morha. Last time I wrote to you, I found I had a mysterious and delicious pool of blue sludge. I'm not sure what happened after that. But I must have fallen asleep because when I woke up, I was at the bottom of the pool. I'm not sure how I am able to breathe in the sludge, but I'm happy that I'm still alive. The space under the sludge pool is vast and filled with beautiful blue fish, blue coral, and blue castles. Or at least that is what I would like to think is down here. It's hard to tell since everything down here is the same shade of blue.
Castles?
Everything except some bright red text scrawled across the blue rocky floor. It said, scan your brain, your whole brain. Crunch all the data into an easily exportable PDF file and extract from that data to answer this question. What kind of video game characters stand out to you the most? What kind of characters are the most memorable to you? Human characters? Non-human characters? Cartoony characters? Realistic characters? Talkative characters? Silent characters? Etc."
That deserved
a moment of silence there.
It's funny because we were talking about silent characters earlier. So, oddly specific. I'm sorry, I was like really caught up in the PDF scanning thing and how much of a cursed document that would be and how I'd want to delete it.
All of the information out of your brain?
Yes, in a PDF? Oh, gosh, no.
How many pages would that PDF be?
A lot shorter than yours. Let's put it that way.
Are you selling yourself short?
Yeah, in a PDF form. That's exactly what I'm saying. But is it bad if I just want to be like just funny characters?
I was gonna say you like funny characters.
Yeah, like not like cringy, or maybe cringy. Cringy can be funny if you do it right. But I mean, I do like a good likable character. Like even the robot guy on Destiny is so overhyped, but like he's still like super likable because he's like the funny robot character who says like the witty things, you know.
I'm trying to think about what stands out to me the most. I think that characters who break out of storytelling tropes, I like a lot. So like you've got your hero's journey stereotype and that kind of thing, and you've got all sorts of characters where it's like, well, of course, this is the bad guy for like characters that would be in a typical Disney movie, right? Like you've got your obvious good guy, your obvious bad guy, or you've got your troubled good guy and you've got your unknown bad guy that turns out to be the other good guy that was suspicious the whole movie, right? Like those are like the two kinds of Disney movies out there.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's like I like when a character is more than just that, where it's like, you know what? They're not trying. I think that's one of the reasons that Nier stands out so much is because the characters are so well written, because neither character, like, I guess 9S is kind of like just trying to do the right thing, right? But like 2B is not like is not trying to just do the right thing, and like finding out her motivation is like a big part and a big part of the twists of that story, and like it really makes her an interesting character. And then I don't like it when it's happening, but I appreciate it after the fact when they're, when characters are shown doing things and not, it doesn't explain why at the moment, it explains why later. Because when it, when something's happening and I'm like, I don't understand why they're doing this thing, this is dumb, I get like grumpy with it. So using the same Nier example, when like there's a lot of really emotional scenes with 2B, and there's a lot of things she says, especially about like when she thinks 9S is dying, and then later on you find out why she's saying all of those things and why it's so impactful to her, and it's like this huge character part of her, and it's really cool. I'm trying to not be too spoilery, which is making my answer worse.
Yeah, but, it's also making it worse for me because I've completely forgotten the story. I remember like the gist of it, but not the details. And so you talking about this makes me want to go watch a recap video on YouTube.
All right,
just goes in depth again.
I'm gonna pull up a stopwatch here. You got 30 seconds. I'm gonna talk about Nier Automata spoilers. Mute yourself. Going now. Okay.
Mute yourself.
So 9S was too smart for his own good, and he kept figuring out the plot of the bad guys. And so 2B, her entire job was to kill him when he figured it out. And she killed him over and over and over and over again. And so at one point, he's dying, and she's like, why does this always have to happen? Because she does genuinely care about him, but her whole directive is to kill him over and over again.
Okay. Anyways. Wow, I forgot about that twist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Huh.
Spoilers over. Game.
Yeah,
safe zone. Spoiler safe zone.
And then next month is the remake of the first one. I think retelling of the first one. Are you not excited for it
anymore? Not really. I think it's cool that it's coming out. I'm excited, but yeah. I've seen like recaps of that first game, and I don't think it's one that I would super enjoy playing. Maybe I will. Because it's more fantasy than it is like sci-fi, so maybe I'd like that because I generally cringe towards that more.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, good questions on characters. We have another email here that I'll pick up before we move on. This email, to the point, it asks, only pants or only shirts?
This question needs more details.
I don't think so. I think it's perfect as it is.
Like, in what scenario? Are there people around? Am I ashamed? Am I overweight? Is it people I don't care about? Is someone offering to give me food that I need to live if I sell one of these things? And so I just choose one that I don't care about?
I feel like, is this what I do to every question, is overthink it? Is this just like talking to me, but in reverse?
Maybe.
Okay.
What's your answer?
Only pants.
Only pants? Only pants.
Yep.
100%. let's go with no shame Jordan, or just Jordan is the last person on the world, you know, like you don't need clothes, right? Is that fair?
I don't know why you're putting extra stipulations on the question. It's a really simple question, Jordan. You don't have to add all of this hypothetical.
Not wearing pants is very fun. Let's just go with that. We didn't have... Never mind. Maybe that's too much information. We didn't have running water here for a while, so I had to go in the backyard. That was fun. I felt like I was like brave in the wilds or something for a while.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move quickly to our last question here from our Discord.
Oh, even another question.
Why is Jordan so good at lying?
That is a good question. Not even I know.
You don't know why you're so good?
I don't, but earlier, Miranda sent me a message saying, aha, so you still haven't told him, laughing face. Well, when we were having our pre-podcast discussion about why I'm not playing Hades. Who asked for that?
I did. I was just like, can I ask you why you still haven't played it? I wanted to know your mind.
Oh, and no, the Discord question.
Oh, that was from our questionnaire of brilliance from the podcast Discord. Wally.
Oh, okay. Nice. Nice. Awesome.
Yep. Yeah. But I am being told by your fiance that she also wanted to know that.
It makes me mad because maybe this is, I think we're getting to the real deep issues here. Maybe this is why I hate Among Us. It's because that doesn't transfer over to a game where I have to make up information, you know? I seem to be good at presenting false information. I am not good at pulling just pop right out of the air. Like, that's true. You know,
you're good at a planned deception, not an improv deception.
That's the one. It's like, I thought before, like, I would like Among Us if I had like a generator on one screen where it's like, just give me a story. I'll tell people it. I just don't know. Like, I don't know what room to tell them. I don't know which task to tell them. And that frustrates me.
But that's part of being a good liar.
It's like, it's true. So I will never be like the ultimate liar, because I cannot pull facts out of the air like that.
You're a very convincing liar, but you're not a good liar, because you have to take time to come up with them. And so if someone ever challenges you about it, you start to struggle a little
bit. Exactly.
But you're great at as long as you have a grip on things, you're great at keeping a straight face. Like, no one will ever be able to tell.
Poker is fun.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I played with Miranda's family, and I had all the money at the end. It was quite fun.
Did you do a lot of bluffing?
I did, yeah. A little bit, here and there.
You can't do it too much, because then you get called out on it, right?
Oh, or you just do it all the time, and then they think, this is the time where he stops. This is the time where he stops. This is the time where he stops. And then, you know.
Yep. They always doubting themselves.
I don't know how I won that.
Well, this has been a very fun podcast episode. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Thanks for joining me, Jordan, as my wonderful co-host. Appreciate it. Thanks
for
playing Valheim
with me.
Thank you
for joining me as my vulnerable co-horse, Daniel. Did you say vulnerable? Valuable.
I said wonderful.
Wonderful. You're my vulnerable co-horse, Daniel, on this Patient Players podcast.
I'm not your horse. I'm your co-horse.
Where we do love. Yeah. Implying I am also a horse, or I have another horse. Or we're horses together.
We are one horse together. We're co-horses.
Hey, if you take apart the boat and put it together, is it the original boat?
No. It's like cat dog, but it's just two horses.
Oh, there's a game called Fogs that I want to get, where you're a noodle dog and each person controls one head of the dog noodle.
So it's like Nobby Nobby Boy?
Maybe.
But on two different controllers?
Yes. And I want to get it to play with Miranda.
New question in the chat. Are we saying co-horse? Yes, we are saying co-horse.
Why? Does that mean something?
I hope it doesn't mean anything.
I'm scared. You're my cohort. Right, that means there's, like, partner in crime, right?
It could mean a lot of things. Like, you have cohorts of, like, groups of people in a class.
Okay, nice. Yeah, but instead... No, I didn't mean to say cohort. I thought he did say horse on accident, so I threw it back at him.
Thank you for joining the podcast, everyone. Patient Players Podcast. Send us an email, patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. We want those questions. Thank you for joining us.
Send us your kisses. Keaton, you deserve me some kisses, because I played Amori, and I'm going to keep playing it.
He was
going
to give you exploding kisses if you didn't play Amori.
Boom! Oh, so no kisses. Never mind. Okay, see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.